Good stuff. Well, let me start by saying happy Father's Day again. It's good to be here. It's good to be able to celebrate our dads. If you hadn't, if you were wondering who I am, and maybe if I take my glasses off, then you'll recognize me. Do you think that's hilarious? Then they just didn't know who he was, and then he took his glasses off. Anyway, I'm just gonna. Stripping off in church, flipping heck. Everyone's left now. Oh gosh. Superman, the first ever superhero. Did you know that? Superman was the first ever superhero. I remember we went on a trip to Canada. Gosh, it must have been nearly 10 years ago now. And we went to Niagara Falls. And when I was there, I mean, it's such an awe-inspiring place. And, you know, the magnitude of this volume of water pouring over this cliff edge and the sound and everything. But when I was there, I couldn't help be reminded of that scene from Superman where the little boy was on the other side of the railings holding on. And being the idiot that I am, Superman 2 is it? There you go. I climbed over the railings and reenacted that scene. Thankfully, I didn't fall. So I didn't need Superman. Don't try that, kids. They've all gone, it's fine. Or adults. It's a stupid thing to do. But it just came to mind and I was like, oh yes, I have to reenact this scene because it just stuck in my memory from childhood. But when I was preparing for this morning, I came to the realization that there's a whole heap of parallels between Superman, the son of God, and Superman, the last son of Krypton. So are you ready to just get a little bit geeky with me for a little bit here? Because we had to kind of delve back into like comic book era, not just movies. So we're going to just have a quick look at this. So Superman's Kryptonian father's name was Jor-El. And El is the Hebrew word for God. And then Superman was sent down to Earth where Martha, who in the comics was originally called Mary, and her husband Jonathan, whose middle name was Joseph, adopted him, named him Clark Kent, and then raised him in this small town where Superman learnt to use his hands on his dad's farm. So he learnt to work with his hands. And then, as he grew older and he came to realise that he had these superpowers and he became Superman, again, harking back to the comics rather than the movie, Superman had this epic battle with this villain called Doomsday. And he fought this guy and they fought together and had this epic battle. And at the very final scene of this, they both punched each other. And with those blows, Superman destroyed Doomsday, but Doomsday also destroyed Superman. So Superman actually died in this comic. But then a few days later, he rose again. Who knew? So Superman came to Earth, was raised up by these humans, learned to work with his hands, then went around saving people. He died and gave his life saving people and then rose again. It's incredible. And this is a comic that was written by two Jewish boys. So, you know, it's absolutely incredible that they'd kind of taken, obviously, what they read and they knew about, you know, the Messiah that was to come, and they'd put this into a story that we all, like, know really well. It's incredible. But we're not here to learn about Superman this morning, are we? As fun as that is. Today we're here to pay tribute to all of our super dads. And, you know, it's easy for some of us, especially for my kids, to look up to their dads and say, he's a superhero. You know, it's one of those things because dads or, you know, parents, I'm just going to say this at the start and then I'm going to stop referring to it, but I'm talking about dads this morning, but I'm also referring to mums. Mums are very important in our lives, but today we're talking about dads. And as I've already said, spiritual fathers and stuff as well. But dads, you know, they teach us and they shape us and they encourage us and they love us and they give everything of themselves to help and to guide their children. So our fathers essentially become the hero of the household. And, you know, we might think that a superhero needs a cool name or a cape or some kind of superpower, but let me tell you, as our theme quite clearly has been this morning, not all heroes wear capes. You know, I believe that a superhero is a person who sacrifices their reputation and their life in a selfless way in order to help others. They sacrifice something of themselves in order to help other people. A superhero is a person who inspires others and who gives them hope. A superhero is someone who helps others and expects nothing in return. A superhero is someone who is brave and who is courageous. I believe that my parents are superheroes. They saved me from going in the wrong direction. They saved me by putting food on my table every night. They saved me by giving a warm bed to sleep in. They saved me by giving me a roof over my head. They saved me by giving me an education. They saved me by working super hard in order to provide everything that I could possibly need in my life. With no cape, with no superpower, and with no cool name, they saved me. And maybe we take it for granted, but our parents are superheroes. Our parents are superheroes. Not because they've got superpowers, but because they sacrifice everything of themselves to help us. And that's what makes them superheroes. So what does it take to be a super dad? That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to just look at 3 points that point to what it takes to be a super dad or a superhero to people in our lives. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about dads and to dads. And there are myriad examples within there of good dads and super dads, you know, within the Bible, not least of which is God himself, the ultimate father figure. But I'd like to just focus our attention on a short paragraph found in 1 Thessalonians. I've just realized I didn't tell the guys at the back what scriptures we're using. So it's 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12. So I'll just give you a little moment to find that. So it says in 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Let's just read that again. "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom." Now, Paul here is writing to this church in Thessalonica as a spiritual father to them. He's giving them guidance and wisdom. And he's reminding them of the kind of relationship that he had with them while he was there, and how he treated them each as a father treats his own children. And in this brief passage, we see Paul highlighting just three characteristics of a super dad. And the first is that super dads are an example for their kids. But Paul says at the beginning of this scripture, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers." In other words, what Paul is reminding this church in Thessalonica of is that while he was with them and while he's gone about his ministry, he's done all he can to live his life in a conduct worthy of God, in a manner that God would be pleased, so that he could set an example for other people to follow him and to become more like Christ. He didn't tell them how to live, he showed them through his actions. "Do as I say, not as I do." Did you ever hear that growing up? Or maybe you've said that. I don't know. We're not here to judge. But it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. The reality is that at every moment of every day, our kids are watching us. And it's not just our kids, it's other people around us. So hear the analogy here. But every moment of every day, our kids are watching us, and they're soaking up our actions, and they're reflecting that back. So often we find that our kids reflect the things that we do, so they say the same phrases that we say. So there's something that, you know, so when Caleb and Toby are playing, and one of them isn't sharing with the other one, I say, Now remember, boys, sharing is caring. And it's a stupid saying, but it's kind of funny and it makes them giggle a little bit. And then I've heard at times while they've been playing, and then Caleb will be like, oh, can I want that. No, you can't have that. And they're kind of fighting a little bit. And then Caleb will go, sharing is caring. And it just makes me chuckle because they've kind of heard this thing that I've said to them, and then they're saying it in their lives. And it's just like, it's one of those things that kind of warms your heart because you realize that actually you're impacting on these people's lives. But at the same time, it's quite scary because it puts a level of importance on the way in which we act, because actually we realize that these little people are going to grow up to do the things that we do. So we need to be so careful about the way that we act around our kids. Did you know that children who grow up in abusive homes are 10 times more likely to abuse their kids? It's a shocking statistic. But on the other hand, children who grow up with a loving and compassionate father will learn to be loving and compassionate themselves in most cases. So dads, you need to be the kind of man that you want your son to be, but also that you want your daughter to marry. I think that's a nice way of looking at it. Because, you know, we obviously want the best for our kids, and, you know, we only want our daughters to marry, you know, the best man and the, you know, someone who's right and honorable and stuff. So we need to act in that way so that they then reflect that and grow up to be those kind of people. You know, kids really do just want to be like their dads. And it's a really funny thing with my relationship with my father. So he worked really hard in his life to provide for me and my brother. And that's one of the things that now we're kind of reflecting back on his life a little bit. It's one of the things that really impacted me about how he demonstrated love. And he did that through acts of service. So he went to work and he worked diligent for the family so he could provide for us. And it's such an incredible example that he's done. And obviously, at some point in my life, I've gathered what it is that he does for a profession. Now, he worked for Burton's Biscuits for a long time, and I knew he worked for a biscuit factory because we got lots of biscuits, and it was very cool. But I don't think I truly grasped what it is that he did, but I can vividly remember, as a young boy, getting my briefcase and coming to sit next to my dad at the dining table and putting my briefcase on the table and opening it up and taking out some notepads and just like writing nonsense on the notepad just to kind of try and mimic this thing that I'd seen him doing. And I didn't really grasp what it was that he did, but I knew it was important and I knew it played a role. And it turns out actually that he worked in sales and marketing at Burton's Biscuits. Now, for any of you who know me well enough, I work in marketing. That's the career that I chose for myself. And it was only once I got my first job that actually I realized that that's what my dad did. And I was like, I didn't even get that at the time. But somehow, somewhere, through the way in which we connected, something was instilled in me that I wanted to work in business and I wanted to work specifically in marketing. And it really struck me. I was like, wow. So actually, you know, I'm growing up to be more like you than I even realized. Not just the thinning hair. Anyway. So dads, it's so important that we act in a way that's honorable and demonstrates positivity to our kids. And it's also important that we get involved in church, that we put that example into their lives. Statistics tell us in families where mum is a regular churchgoer but dad isn't, only 37% of the kids will attend church, and then even more sporadically when they grow up. But on the other hand, in households where dad attends church regularly as well, 78% of kids will grow up to attend church. That's a massive leap. And then in families where dads attend but mum doesn't, it goes up even more to 84%. That's how powerful an impact of a father's example is on the lives of their kids. You know, it reminds me of the little boy who was playing on a Sunday morning while his dad was sitting in the recliner reading the paper. And the father says to the son, "Son, go and get ready for Sunday school." And the little boy says, "Dad, are you coming with me today?" "No, son, but you go and get ready. You go and get ready. I'm not coming." And the little boy said, "Dad, did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a kid?" And he says very proudly, "Yes, of course I did." And the boy smiled and goes, "Yeah, I bet it won't do me any good either." You know, we need to be careful about the way in which we act because it reflects back in our children. we need to set good examples, and not just in church attendance, that's important, but in every area of our lives. So first, super dads need to be a super example to their kids. And the second is that we need to be super encouragers. We need to be our kids' number one fan. We need to be that embarrassing parent at the side of the sports day pitch or the football pitch or whatever it is, cheering on our children as loud as we can. Come on, Caleb, you can do it. But come on, Caleb, you can do it. You're the best. I love you. You can do this. We need to be that person just shouting and embarrassing them so much because we're pouring out this love and encouragement on them. So listen again to what Paul says in our verse for this morning. He says, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you. How often do you encourage your kids and tell them how awesome they are and how proud you are of them? Do you know, I probably don't do it enough, if I'm honest. But right now, so Tay has just gone through her exams. It's a shame she's not here, but I'll tell her afterwards. I have told her already. But I'm so proud of her and the way that she's gone through this incredibly stressful period of her life. I mean, they have to do like 20-something exams in a period of like 3 weeks. It's just ridiculous. And I remember how stressed I was going through school, but I wasn't particularly academic, and if I'm honest, didn't really care that much. But for Taya, school is important, and she gets that, and she puts her all into it. So she has worked so hard to you know, do her best in these exams. And I'm sure that'll be reflected in her results, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is you know, the attitude that she had towards the revision and towards the exams. Ruth and I were at an AOG Leaders Day yesterday, and Glyn Barrett from Audacious Church was talking, and he was talking about his relationship with his kids. And he said, you know, when we go to parent-teacher conference days, we don't look at the column that talks about results. We just look at the column that talks about attitude. And I thought that was brilliant, because actually, not all kids are smart. Not all kids get physics or maths or whatever it is. But as long as they're trying their best, that's what matters. So I think it's great to be able to encourage our kids and get alongside them and cheer them on and just make sure that they're trying their hardest, because that's all we really need, all we really ask of them. You know, Mark Twain once said, I can live for 10 years on a good compliment. Well, I think most of us could probably do with one a little bit more often than that. But you get the sentiment there. I could live for 10 years on a good compliment. But unfortunately, it's also been said that it takes 10 compliments to balance out one critical comment. And I think that can be true. Do you know, children today are being constantly criticized, whether it's in school or just in their friendship groups or whatever it is. They're just being criticized and challenged and having to reach these expectations that are just unrealistic, whether it's society or social media or peer pressure or whatever it is. There's so much that's kind of saying, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not cool enough, you don't have enough stuff. There's all this pressure on children today, things that even we don't realize, that they're under. And as a result, I think that many kids can grow up feeling inadequate with themselves. And that's why we see a rise of mental health complications, and we see a rise of children and teenagers committing suicide and things like that, because there's so much pressure on kids today to perform or to be the best or to have the appearance that they've got everything together. So that's why as parents, it's so important that we do all we can to encourage our kids. And you know, sometimes they don't hear that. Because the voice of society and the voice of social media is a lot louder oftentimes than the voice of parents. But that should just make us shout even louder, shouldn't it? We need to just encourage our kids so much. You're incredible. You're beautiful. You're loved. You're so amazing. And just pour it out into their lives. Reminding them that they're worth something. Reminding them that we're proud of them. But importantly, reminding them that God loves them. So God urges all believers, encourage one another and build each other up, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. encourage one another and build each other up. Do you know a great philosophy to live by as a father and as a parent is not to focus on what your kids do, what your kids can't do, sorry, but what they can do. With so many influences outside telling them this, they're not good enough, they're not smart enough. It's so important for us to regularly encourage our kids. You're incredible, you can do this, you're worth something, we love you. So super dads are super examples and they're super encouragers. And then finally, we're super exhorters. Paul says, like a father with his children, we exhort each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So in addition to being an example and encouraging our kids, super dads exhort their kids. Now, we don't use that word exhort very often these days, so let me just read a definition of the translated word that's used in this verse. It means this. It means to come alongside and to instruct and incite in order to move someone in a specific line of conduct. Let me read that again. To come alongside with instruction and insight in order to move someone in a specific line of content. So the idea of a parent's job, of a dad's job, is to teach his children to become the best adults that they can be, to guide them into the scary situation of adulthood. And Solomon's advice to parents is this. It says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So this idea of exhortation, it means teaching them God's word. It means teaching them the difference between right and wrong. It means instilling within them good moral values and, where necessary, disciplining your children. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father does the son in whom he delights. You know, children thrive best in an attitude and an atmosphere of genuine love, undergirded by consistent, compassionate disciplines. Do you know, raising your children with loving discipline can teach them to respect authority, to respect other people, and most importantly, to respect God. Now, exhorting your kids isn't just about making them spend time on the naughty step or putting them in their place, but it's also about teachable moments. It's about finding those opportunities in everyday life to guide them and to give them examples of things that they might face in the future. So coming alongside your daughter and explaining how life can be short and people pass on when an animal or a pet dies. So taking that opportunity to kind of talk about things in reality that might come to pass later in life through those kind of everyday examples. Or talking about putting others first in life, like I said, with the sharing thing. So you can use those examples of where kids are fighting over something silly and it seems petty to just kind of guide them a little bit and say, do you know what? It's good to share, or it's good to put the other people first, or it's good to do nice things. Do you know, we have this thing as a family, so when we go through a toll booth, we, where possible, pay for the car behind us, and it's just, it's kind of a, I know, it's a fun thing to do. And then I remember the last time we went through a toll booth, and I'd kind of forgotten about it, and then the kids said, oh, are we going to pay for the car behind us? And I was like, oh yeah, okay, we'll do that. And it's really nice because they've kind of caught onto this thing that actually it can be a good thing to bless other people. And although it's not their money that's paying for it, it's mine, but it's okay, it's like £2 or whatever. It's not about the amount, is it? It's about the heart behind it. And they kind of grasped hold of that from the way that we encouraged them that one time, that we should do it again and we should continue to bless other people. So it's important to exhort them and to train them up in the way that they should go in the future. So while I'm sure that there's a whole host of characteristics and qualities that could be used to describe the heroic nature of super dads. I think these three are pretty important. So if you want to be a superhero to your kids, or if you want to be a superhero to the people in your lives, then be a super example. Be a super encourager and be a super exhorter. Do you know, I'm convinced that there's a lot of super dads here today. And many of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our super dads, because oftentimes they set the example for us to turn out like we did. I know that's not always the case. But I just want to say thank you to the men here. Thank you for being there. Thank you for teaching us the difference between right and wrong. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for cheering us on at sports day and taking us for a ride on our bike. Thank you for showing us how to be a good husband and a good friend. Thank you for teaching us to love God and to love our neighbor. And thank you for encouraging us and exhorting us and being an example for us to follow. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you are the ultimate father, that you are the ultimate example of fatherhood, that you provided for us in a way that no one else could. You provided us with all that we can see around us, with all of the wonders of creation. You provided that for us. We thank you that you're longing for a relationship with us and that you're always there for us when we need you. We thank you that even when we turn around and run in the opposite direction, the moment we decide to turn back around to you, you're right there. You're right there for us to love on us and to support us and to cheer us on and to tell us that you're proud of us. And I thank you for the example that Jesus set for us when he came to earth, when he gave everything he had to provide for us so that we can have a way back to you. So Lord God, I pray this morning that throughout all the fun and the silliness, we'll hear the heart of this message, that you call us to be superheroes who don't wear capes. You call us to go out into this world and live a life that is honoring to you through setting an example to those around us in the way to live and the way to love. That you call us to encourage others when they're feeling down, when they're feeling let down. You call us to encourage people, and you call us to exhort people, to guide them on the path of righteousness, to point them in the right direction, and ultimately to point them to you. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, thank you very much all for being here. I hope you had a good time. There's cakes and chocolates and tea and coffee at the back, so help yourselves. And then we've got a photo board at the back, so grab yourselves a little photo. Post it on social media, tag Hope Church Lytham, hashtag superheroes, hashtag not all heroes wear capes. I don't know. Thank you very much and happy Father's Day.